It must be heartbreaking for a woman who wants a child who can't have a child, or a couple who want children who can't have children. I want to speak to Aileen Feeney, who's the chief executive of the Fertility Network. Aileen, good morning.
Good morning.
Aileen, first of all, just explain to us what the Fertility Network does and who they are.
So we're a UK-wide charity that support people that are facing fertility challenges. So there's one in six couples across the UK that are actually suffering from infertility. And as you said in the introduction, it's absolutely devastating for those people that do suffer. We've done several bits of research and come up with some staggering figures. 90% of people feel depressed as they find out they're suffering from infertility. And worse than that, 42% are suicidal. So, as you say, it's a disease and it is completely devastating for those impacted.
For a person who wants to become pregnant, what's her first step? What can she do? She goes to the GP and she says, I'm trying to get pregnant, I can't get pregnant. What's on offer from the NHS?
So what happens is, as you quite rightly say, a lady would go to the doctor and say that they are struggling to have a child. That doctor should take into consideration not only the woman but also the man, because infertility is obviously, it takes both a man and a woman to make a baby. So the doctor would often put both parties of the couple through some tests, and if those tests reveal that they are unable to have a child naturally, they would refer them for fertility treatment.
So the man has a sperm count done and it's found that he is never going to be a father. Is that, and that's, this is the only partner that this woman has, is that a heartbreaking revelation for that couple? If they're staying together, they're never going to have children, or are there other options?
So there are other options. So if a man has a problem with his sperm that absolutely means that he can't have children, there are other options available and within the UK. So you can look for sperm donation, which is a route that often couples will take, and that enables the couple to use the woman's egg, but then use donated sperm if that's what they would choose to do.
How heartbreaking is that for the male?
Well, I think men find it very hard to talk about situations, and particularly if they find that they can't be a father. I think it really impacts men. We did some research as a charity a couple of years ago, and it's extra devastating for a man because, you know, he wants to provide, have a family, and it's just, you know, it's dreadful for them.
So the couple have a problem, as has been described. The woman may find that she's never going to be able to bring a child into the world. It's devastating for her. It's going to be a huge disappointment for the male, who may be well capable of fathering a child. But the reason that we're talking in very simplistic terms about it at this moment in time is to highlight the concern that you have. It's not taken seriously in the workplace. It's not viewed in the workplace as something that really stresses people to the point of not being able to do their work, or, as you said earlier, to being suicidal. It must be a terrible burden to carry with you every day.
It is. It absolutely is. And the latest fertility trends report from the HFEA, who are the regulators in the UK of fertility treatment, shows that actually male factor infertility is the largest cause of fertility challenges in the UK. And the reason that we are so concerned about workplace support for those facing infertility is that the very demographics of those people that are trying to have babies are generally going to be in work. And what we've found is that 50% of people 50% of people are concerned that they're going to have their career impacted, their career or their work impacted, if they admit that they're going through fertility or trying for a baby, and particularly if they're going through fertility treatments. We've also done some research that shows that less than a quarter of employers actually have a fertility policy. So we believe that it's really important for both businesses and employees that employers develop a fertility workplace policy and really understand and aware of what fertility means.
Now, legally, you can't have your employment prospects curtailed when you're pregnant, but legally, you can have them curtailed if you're going through fertility treatment. Is that right?
Well, if you are going through fertility treatment, I don't know if you or your listeners really understand the stages that you go through fertility treatment, but if you're going through IVF, the lady will have their eggs extracted and then the eggs will be fertilized. At the point that embryo is then put back inside the lady, so before she even knows she's pregnant, she is considered pregnant under the legislative situation. So she is, in fact, protected at that point. But she's not protected just because she's going through fertility treatment, no. But as soon as she has her eggs transplanted, her embryos transplanted back in, then yes, she is considered pregnant.
Should a policy, as you've suggested, be drawn up with every HR department so as people who are facing a crisis, very often in their own minds as opposed to within their own bodies, that they should be able to talk confidently to another, maybe more senior member of staff or another dedicated member of staff who has some specialist training in counselling, in listening, in understanding what this most likely a woman is going through, but maybe the stress that the male is going through as well?
Well, it will be both partners, and absolutely, we believe it's really critical that these policies are in place for the employees, as you say, to give them the confidence, the support, the awareness as they're going through their fertility treatments, but also for employers, because there's multiple research that shows that if employees are feeling supported and engaged with their employer, they not only perform better, but they're more likely to stay, and it improves business outcomes as well. So it's critically important both for the employers and the employees that companies take into account fertility challenges. I mean, a few years ago, you wouldn't have had mental health buddies or mental health policies in workplaces, but now I think the majority of workplaces have them. We believe that all workplaces should be having fertility policies in place.
I'm just trying to visualise at the moment a couple who may be listening to the programme and the heartache that they're going through because they're being reminded of the dilemma that they are in. And they may have tried everything that's available on the NHS, but they're going to invest more money. They're literally working to raise the money to go for further investigation or further fertility treatment. That in itself must be very difficult to be working to deliver that almost forlorn hope at the moment of being a parent.
That's right. So, you know, private fertility treatment can cost, you know, £10,000 a round. And, you know, we hear of people that pay £30,000, £40,000 and even up to £100,000 to cover the cost of their own fertility treatment. So that's a massive, massive financial burden. And yet, almost 20% of people that are going through fertility treatment either reduce their hours or leave their employment because they don't feel that they're getting the support that they need.
If someone is listening to the programme at the moment, maybe, and I don't mean to be patronising on this, but you could be listening and have a tear in your eye as you think about your dilemma. The Fertility Network, are they available? Do they have counsellors? Do they have people who can talk to you? Can you be contacted?
Yes. Yeah, we've got, if you go to our website, which is fertilitynetworkuk.org, you can find contact numbers. We have people who are based in Northern Ireland that can help you as well. Their numbers are on our website, and we have support groups, we have information sheets, and if you call us, we will do whatever we can to help.
Aileen, thank you for raising it. HR departments will be cocking an ear to it as well. But thanks for coming on. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Eileen Feeney, Chief Executive of the Fertility Network, just reminding us of what some families are going through. Maybe you have a story to tell us. We really would like to hear from you. It could be a story of great joy. Maybe you tried and tried, and eventually you had this moment when little Junior arrived. Feel free to tell us that story. Or if you're still trying and you're not prepared to give up hope and you'd like to share your courage with us, 028 90 333 105 is that number. It's a very moving topic, very moving subject, and it's one of those, I suppose, heartbreaking stories in many ways, where the flip side is an example of great celebration and great joy. 028 90 333 105. This is the U105 phone-in. It's Frank Mitchell here right through until the middle of the day.